I'm Brian Kelly, KMOX News Time 906.
KMOX is at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline. Now, here's your host, Mike Miller, on KMOX.
One comment, Mr. Kelly. How come you're still wearing a Blues hat? Blue season's over.
Because the only hats I have on my rack are Blues hats.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Because you have an Ireland shirt on.
Well, this is because...
I thought maybe you have an Irish shirt. I know you bought it in Ireland.
Well, I did, but a relative of mine is leaving for Ireland today.
Whoa!
So I'm going in spirit.
Wow.
Yes, actually a couple relatives of mine.
Wow.
They're married, so yeah, they're both going.
Party on.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to have so much fun.
Yep.
Oh,
great.
I wish I was going.
I was just curious why it's always blues.
Always blues. Always blues.
Sounds good.
Yep.
Folks, thanks, and welcome to the second hour of the Garden Hotline. I'll be giving the tip of the trowel shortly, but right now you can call 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120, and then you'll get in line with your questions, comments, or concerns. And by the way, thanks for having me on your show, and you can call about plant selections, the ups and downs related to annuals. Man, the pansies look spectacular so far. Now, I do fertilize my pansies. I got them several weeks ago, probably a month ago or so. And about every 2 weeks, I do give them a boost with some fertilizer. And your bulbs, your daffodils, your crocus, your tulips, and all those kind of spring flowering bulbs, yes, you can be fertilizing them right now as well. And your spring flower or your summer bulbs, like cannas and elephant ears and things like that, or sweet potato vines. I pulled mine out of the garage and I dumped them into some pots and try to trigger some action as far as growth goes. Your edibles, ground covers, houseplants, lawn, perennials, roses, shrubs, trees, vines, water gardens. And I'll share my thoughts, but always remember my answers, comments, and opinions is certainly not the only garden path to take, but it's offered as an option for you to consider. Samantha will be taking your call. Greg is still here, so it still takes two people to produce this very difficult show called The Garden Hotline. During the week, I do, and weekend, I do garden consulting, where I come to your home and discuss questions that you have, also keep my eyes open for things that may be causing an impact, good and bad, on your landscape. You can go to MikeMillerDesigns.com, the homepage. You can find my email address and phone number. It's going to be listed right there. Today after the show, I'm headed to Town and Country. So you can schedule a walk and talk, and I'll share my 40-plus years of experience related to your home, your plants, care and maintenance, and everything else. And now, a special recognition for individual group or situation that's made an impression on me, and it's brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. Today's tip of the trowel goes out to several. There's all kinds of garden clubs throughout the entire region. And speaking of Town and Country, the Town and Country Garden Club meets at the Longview Park Farmhouse on Clayton Road. The Trenton Tumbleweeds Garden Club in Trenton, Illinois. The Troy Garden Club and the O'Fallon Garden Club. The Webster Groves Garden Club. The Webster Groves Women's Garden Association. The West County Daylily Club and Daylily MBG, Daylily Society, and the Wild Ones, Natural Landscapers. That just shows you, I mean, whatever your interest is in plant, the only thing that I can't think of that there's a garden club for is lawns. There's not like a, you know, lawn garden club. So anyway, if you've got any kind of interest in plant material whatsoever, go ahead and you can go to the Missouri Botanical Garden website. That's mobot.org, and they will list all kinds of different plant societies and shows and everything else related to various plant materials. So anyway, I guess I'll go ahead and take a break. I'll be back after these messages. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline. If you do have any questions or concerns, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller, sponsored by Allen's Tree Service on KMOX.
Yes, folks, you know what April 14th is? Well, isn't tax day tomorrow? Yikes! Well, I'm going to go see the guy that prepares my taxes, my CPA, right after the show today. And after that, I'm headed out to Town and Country for a nice walk and talk. But right now, we're going into Brad's yard, and Brad lives in St. Louis. Hi, Brad.
Hi, good morning, Mike.
Hi.
I'm a little confused. When you go to these stores that have all the bags of potting soil, potting mix, garden soil, compost, I'm not sure what to use when. Like, for instance, I'm going to be doing some vegetable container gardening mm-hmm. this year. What would you use to do that?
I would, again, anything in containers, I'm sold on potting mix.
Okay.
So, I mean, many people can grow other things, but I, you know, it does. It really drains very quickly, so I have to admit that. So it means that, you know, from if you're trying to grow vegetables, tomatoes or whatever, which we've grown tomatoes in containers, rhubarb, lots of different things over the years, you do have to fertilize routinely to make sure there's some nutrients there every time the plant needs it, especially like tomatoes, which needs food all the time or fertilizing pretty much continuously. And that doesn't mean every day, but it means always have some fertilizer there for the tomato plants.
What kind of fertilizer do you use?
I use one that's specifically for tomatoes because it has calcium, and that prevents blossom end rot, and that's the black spots on the bottom of your tomatoes.
Okay. And can you use a granular for your other vegetables?
Yeah, you can. You know, I just like to mix up more or less powdery stuff in buckets and pour it on. It gets it right down to the root system ASAP.
Okay. Can I mix the potting soil with my other garden soil?
I don't know why you'd want to do that. Yeah, I guess you could.
Well, just it's decent soil, and, you know, potting soil is expensive, so I didn't know.
Yeah, it's potting mix, not potting soil, but I don't want to correct it. But anyway, yeah, you could give it a try and see what happens.
Now, what is the actual difference, then, between potting mix and compost?
Potting mix, compost is more like potting soil. Compost is organic material, very dense and very heavy. It's basically you mix it into the ground. That's what its intent is for. Where potting mix, you don't mix that into the ground, you know, in any circumstance that I know of.
Okay. Well, thank you for clearing that up.
Sure.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks, Brad. And let's head from St. Louis north to Florissant and into Mike Shard. Hi, Mike.
Hello, am I on?
Yes, as far as I know.
About this time of year when my hosta shoots up, I take a spade and split it and move it. Can I do that with my peonies that are popping up?
Ooh. I'll tell you what, if you divide peonies, you're going to set them back. So in other words, it's going to be a couple years after you divide them, even if you do everything correctly and you know it works out just fine, where you're not going to get the good color. The first year, you might not even get great flowering as far as quantity-wise. You can do it, but personally, I think peonies should just be left alone. And if you want more peonies, just buy them. But if you want to divide them, you certainly can. Just make sure you see the red hands coming up out of the ground right now. So yeah. You know exactly what you need to do. You cut a pie wedge out of that and stick it into you know, the new location.
Well, I have so many, and they're spreading so much. I'll have to take some out just because I got to move some. But if I do that, when should I do it then?
ASAP.
Okay, this time of year.
Yes, exactly. That's a better time to do it because the ground is going to be warmer, and they can acclimate a lot quicker. So do it now. If you don't get quite around to it, you can just, you know, wait, and you can do it in the fall. But basically around August, the peony foliage usually starts declining. You can do it at that time as well.
Okay, thank you. And by the way, my foliage always turns black later. Can I just cut it off with some kind of a mold or something on there?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So you can cut it off. Get it as soon as, and also when you cut your peony leaves off, don't let them just drop and stay there because that's re-inoculating the soil for the next year. So just get rid of it. Don't, you know, take those, don't put them in your compost pile, don't put them in, you know, anything like that. So you want to get rid of the leaves that have any kind of black spotting or anything at all on them.
Thank you, Mike.
Yep. And now let's go to Judy, and Judy lives in Crestwood. Hi, Judy.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
I've heard you recommend compost for your garden, for your yard to improve the soil.
Right.
What other options are there other than compost?
As far as improving the soil, that's about the only thing you can do.
Fertilizer
does not improve your soil. Fertilizer is like more or less a cosmetic type thing for the plant material, but it doesn't benefit the soil hardly at all, let's put it that way.
Okay, what about Milorganite?
I mean, that's basically, Milorganite is a compost.
Okay, could I use that?
Yeah. I mean, Milorganite is basically dry. I don't want to sound crass, but mill means Milwaukee, and organite. So it's like kind of sewage stuff from Milwaukee.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Bye.
See you. And yeah, Tracy and I just drove through Crestwood yesterday, and we're amazed at where Crestwood Plaza used to be. Whoa! There are some high mountains of soil there. Let's go to Baldwin now and into Pat's yard. Hi, Pat.
Hi.
Hi.
I enjoy your show very much, and I have been inundated with bagworms. I've tried everything. It has totally ruined the spruce. It's attacked my Japanese maple, and they're even on my red bud. And I had it professionally sprayed and lost the blue spruce. So I looked online at one point and was told that recommended that Polestar 1 was something good to spray on the trees. So I'm wondering, what is your opinion, and what can I do to get rid of these bagworms?
Well, I don't know why you would have bagworms on redbud trees and on maple trees.
I know.
Yeah, it doesn't make you gotta. I would say sell your home and run. That sounds scary.
Really?
No, but I mean. On your spruce tree, basically the only way, the bags that are hanging there now, there's nothing there, and there's no kind of chemical that is going to penetrate those bags to kill the eggs, because they're filled with eggs. What you need to do is just watch closely, and, you know, it's weather dependent, but sometime within the next month or so, those eggs should hatch, and then it will look like a bunch of little bag worms that are not attached. They'll be crawling along the branch where they, you know, from the bag they, let's say, hatched from. Then you can spray them with an insecticide at that time and kill them while they're young. But the bags that are hanging there, you know, some of them may not have any eggs in them at all. Maybe they've already emerged or anything else. But so that's
if I put a product on now that's supposed to kill the eggs. Is that a possibility? Or
I don't know of any product that could kill the eggs.
Oh, really?
None. I don't know how they would get to the eggs, because you see how the bag is hanging. It's dangling. So the chemical that you sprayed onto it or anything else, I just don't know. You know, maybe there is, you know, chemicals that can penetrate those bags. But have you ever tried to tear those bags open?
No, I'm not talking about the bags. I'm talking about pre-activity. Can you put anything to stop the forming of the bagworm?
No. Basically, it's a female. She gets, you know, impregnated by the male, and then she goes and she dies, you know, as she's forming. You know, she's been dragging this bag around. She lays the eggs in the bag. She attaches it to wherever she wants to, and then, you know, then the eggs are in there, and she's dead.
Okay, so what do you recommend when I start seeing the worms crawling on the bottom?
Then you could, any kind of insecticide, because they're very young, can be used to kill them. So, I mean, you could use 7, you could use insecticidal soap, pretty much anything, because they're very young, they don't have any kind of protective type thing, and it kills them pretty quickly.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm just paranoid about these bagworms. I can't seem to get rid of them.
Yeah, I mean, and they hang. I mean, like I said, they're just not going to fall off when the eggs, you know, emerge from them. So,
I know. Well, it's good to pick them off, right, when you see them?
Well, I guess so. I mean, growing up in Ellisville, my father would give us a penny or a nickel or something every bag we'd pick off the junipers. But, yeah, it's good to get rid of them. But if you can't pick them all off, then, I mean, you could do it.
Well,
yeah.
I'll do that too. So, well, thank you very much. It's really, I've never had such a problem before, and I thought they were prevalent on junipers.
They were mainly on junipers, and they've, you know, kind of emerged to the spruces. But on deciduous trees, I don't know what kind of damage they can actually do, because there's nothing for them to make the new bag with.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Yep. Thanks, Pat. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline. Once again, here's Mike Miller on KMOX.
Yes, folks, back to the phones we go. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. We're headed to St. Charles, and we're going into Frank's yard. Hi, Frank.
Hey, Mike, I got two questions. One is, I talked to you last year about my front lawn. The grass doesn't grow there. It slopes towards the street, and there's a maple tree. between the shade and the maple tree sucking the water.
Right.
So first question is there a fast-growing ground cover that grows in the shade?
There's several ground covers. None of them are going to be fast-growing, to be honest with you. They got to get themselves established. So you're kind of, you can plant them, let them get established, and just use mulch, more or less as the ground cover until they start filling in the space. Probably in a circumstance like what you've explained, I would look at the liriope, L-I-R-I-O-P-E, spicata, S-P-I-C-A-T-A. That's a spreading monkey grass or lily turf. That would be the one I would choose.
Great. Now, the other question I had is my dog likes to use part of my yard as a restroom. Can I put lime down to neutralize some? No.
That would be the wrong thing because that's what's causing the problem. Use gypsum.
Gypsum?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because that'll bind up the urine, and then it'll pull the urine down through. But, yeah, lime would be exactly what you do not want to do.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Certainly. And now let's go from St. Charles south to Oakville into Pam's yard. Hi, Pam.
Hi. I grew some grape tomatoes in a container last year, and I just need to know if I should replace the potting mix that I used last year, or can I just grow tomatoes in that same pot again?
To me, some people say you got to get rid of the potting mix on a regular base, blah, 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 blah. I've reused the potting mix in my pots. Now, what I do is I dump them into like Rubbermaid tubs and I mix it all, mix several pots of the potting mix together and then I refill them. But I don't, I don't dump my potting mix just for the sake of dumping it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yep. And that, to me, that's just kind of a waste of money. Unless you've had tomatoes with diseases or something like that, or anything in a container that you have grown that got some kind of disease, whether it was tomatoes or anything else, get rid of that potting mix. So you want it because that can still have it in the potting mix or potting soil or anything, and then the next year's plants can have the same very problem. So
okay, now they did great. I just want them to do great again.
Yep. So just keep feeding, watering, and everything else. So thanks, okay, Pam. And now let's go to Millisburg, Illinois, and that's where Jim lives. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how you doing this morning? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I got a question about planting seeds. I picked up a couple of, I call them buckeye seeds off of a tree from up north last fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I planted them in a container with potting mix here about 5-6 weeks ago. I haven't disturbed them. I keep them moist, but I haven't seen anything coming up yet as far as sprouting. And I was just wondering what I need to do to see if they grow or not.
Be patient.
Okay.
It could take a long time before they're going to actually start germinating and be able to push the growth up, it's just individual ones. It may even be in the fall before you start to see any kind of above ground growth. It may even be a full year. So it's hard to say with the individual plan, individual circumstance. So just be patient. That's the best thing you can do.
Okay. I didn't want to disturb them. So.
No.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yep. And if you want to in the wintertime, what you can do is, even if they germinate and you start to see some above ground growth, leave them in the pod. Don't plant them out anyplace. Grow them in the pot for a couple years, but just, dig a hole, sink the pot into a hole for the wintertime just to protect the new root system. Let's go now to Stella in Ofala, Missouri. Hi, Stella.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I have a couple of questions. One is, can I replant the potted tulips that I had gotten from the kids at Easter?
You can replant them, but you can replant them, but success next year is going to be somewhat iffy at best. So tulips are kind of iffy regardless. So go ahead and plant them and just remember where they are. You may have good luck with them. You may not.
I don't need to let them dry out or anything.
You can basically, what you can do is the flowers are finished, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Okay. So you cut off the flower stalk. You could actually take them outside. Well, I'd probably leave them in the pot for a little bit. And once the leaves start turning yellowish, mm-hmm. in the pot.
They are.
Okay, so if that's mm-hmm. happening, then you can take them and start planting them outside.
Because
you want to plant them deeper than what they are in this pot. So right. you want them down about, you know, 4 to 6 inches mm-hmm. deep, and then mm-hmm. just kind of keep your fingers crossed.
Okay. Well, just one more thing. I have a rabbit that I haven't seen that's eating my woodland phlox before I get to see the flower. So I guess nothing to deter that.
Well, there's some repellents and things like that, which you could spray around, you know, where your woodland phlox is. But that's pretty much about all you can do is a deterrent, mm-hmm. like, unless you want to trap them, like have a heart trapped kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. All right. Thank you.
Yep. And now let's go to Perryville South. And Shirley lives in Perryville. Hi, Shirley.
Hi, Mike. I have a question about landscape timbers.
Mm-hmm.
I realize the old ones, I think, were treated with formaldehyde.
Yeah, creosote.
And creosote, and they said never to use them for a vegetable garden.
Right.
But if they're really old, like 25 years old, and they've been out in the weather, would they be safe, or are they never safe?
I would say they were probably never safe. If you really want to be overly cautious, they may be completely safe, but the residual of the chemical that was put in there to preserve them, if they've managed to preserve it, then that chemical is still there, or they wouldn't be preserved, and these landscape timbers would be twisted, falling apart, splitting, and everything else.
Okay. So the new ones that they make today, are they treated the same way?
No, they're not. A lot of them are composite, so they're kind of like recycled plastic and sawdust, which is blended and made into board. So that there's no kind of, you know, you think, well, plastic might be dangerous, but no, it really isn't. So, and none of the newer wood should have those products in them at all.
And could I use those for vegetable garden raised bed?
Yes.
I could. Okay. Thank you so much.
Certainly.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. The other thing too is railroad ties with that oil or whatever they put into them. I mean, that caused some major trouble and they finally fell apart. Freeburg, Illinois. Hi, Carol. How are you?
I'm fine, Mike. I want to ask you a couple of things. Is there anything that will keep rabbits from eating a newly planted things from seed or little plants?
Basically, you're going to have to put a physical barrier around these things. So I don't know how many. Are these big areas that you have planted with seedlings?
No.
Okay. So, I mean, put some wire, even, you know, put it like a fence around them or something along that line.
Okay, I'll try that. And how long after a pre-emergent has been put down do you have to wait to plant grass seed?
It depends upon what the pre-emergent was, but usually it's a minimum of 3 to 4 weeks, minimum.
Okay. Thank you very much.
So a physical barrier for the rabbits. I didn't know how many you had, but... I mean, you got to make sure that you got good stakes. The rabbits can't get in there. It goes all the way around. You use cable ties to tie it to make sure that it's stuck to the post really well. And so that would be the best thing I'd recommend. So now let's go.
All right, I'll try it.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks, Carol. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller, sponsored by Allen's Tree Service on KMOX.
Yes, folks, we've got about 9 minutes or so of the Garden Hotline, and then at 10 o'clock, Investing Sense with Andy Smith and Bob Richards, 11:15, Total Access pregame show with Alex Ferraro. So all kinds of stuff coming up before noon today. And Jackie lives in Wildwood. Jackie, how are you today?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, Mike. I have a couple of questions, and first one is about boxwood hedges. When you trim them back, it's one that's overgrown, and if you trim it back, is there any way that it would not look boxy? And the second question is, if I try to relocate them, like dig them up and put them in another area, can I put some other plant in that spot by putting some type of compost in it to make it stay healthy and alive and thrive?
Yeah, you can move, you know, you can, wherever you pull the boxwood out of, that area should be fine if you just improve the soil. And as far as, like, you know, having boxwood not look so boxy, well, stop pruning them, and then they won't look so boxy. They'll still look roundish, I won't fool you, but they're not going to ever look, you know, natural, really branchy or anything else. So even if you don't prune them, I've got a couple that I do not prune. And One of them, you know, is not a really good, in good shape overall, but the one is in really great shape. But, I mean, it has some branches that are longer than others, but it's not, it kind of grows in a natural sort of beach ball shape.
Okay, so if you prune it too short, will the leaves come back on it?
Well, if you prune it back to the point where there's no leaves, when you look down inside of a boxwood, there's no leaves there, you prune it back down to that point, you're probably not going to have anything except dead sticks.
And they won't ever grow back.
No.
Then, I guess.
Or if they do, it'll be really painfully slow.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. And now let's stay in Wildwood so we can save gas and go to Jerry's yard. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Mike. I have an American holly bush, which is about 16 to 17 years old. I haven't fertilized it much over the years, maybe once a season in the beginning of the growing season, mm-hmm. and I used Osmocote. It's on a the north side of the house, and this year it's showing strange things. The branches are a pale green.
Right.
They used to look better than that, and the leaves are green. They look fine, but these new branches are all pale green. What is happening?
Well, if it's new growth, and that's why they're pale green as far as new growth goes. But if the leaves look fine, what you should probably do is just go to your favorite garden center and get some fertilizer for acid-loving plants, or either that or get some iron and sulfur, like iron sulfate, and mix that in and put it in the ground and see if that can help the color. But if the foliage looks good, then I wouldn't worry too much about the stems.
Yeah, I mean, this has been a carefree plant. I mean, it's an unforgiving soil. We added
right.
soil, but it's been doing great, and
right.
the birds love it. And I just, there's only one branch where we have some dead leaves, but, you know, I trimmed it back in the fall, and that's the usual procedure
sure.
I've been doing.
Well, sounds like you're doing everything right. Just go to your favorite garden center and get some iron sulfate and follow the directions and put it around the base of the tree.
Thanks an awful lot. I appreciate your show, too.
Well, thanks for having me on your show.
Okay,
stay in West County and go into Baldwin, and that's where Jim lives. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Listen, real quick question. This regards my daughter's home down in South City on Delore. She has two dogs, single lady, two dogs, small backyard, probably no more than 500 square feet of grass area. I've tried turning it, reseeding it, fencing off areas so the dogs can't get into it. We'll get the grass growing. As soon as we unfence the area, the dogs proceed to kill it. So my question is, would I be best off stripping the top of this yard and sodding it, or am I just beating a dead horse?
You're beating a dead horse.
Beating a dead horse.
Yes.
Okay.
If you know, dogs, you know, the way their feet run and compaction and everything else, you're never going to have a successful lawn.
Okay, turned into a rock garden.
Exactly. You could do that. Or just let the weeds take over. Usually, but no, even weeds can't take it. You can always see where the dogs run because there's no weeds there.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so, okay, but it's pretty tough to do anything with it, I take it, with the uric acid and the, so on. And the
yeah, you can't. That's not going to make any difference.
Okay.
It's soil compaction, which is a real problem.
Okay, AstroTurf. Got the answer.
Exactly. So thanks, Jim. And now let's
thanks.
Go to, yeah, she lives, if she lives on Delores, she lives very close to where I do. Ron lives in South City. Ron, how are you today?
Fine. Thank you for my call. I'll make it quick. You recommended iron sulfate for holly trees.
Right.
My dog crawls under the tree, and that's a whole other story. Is that iron sulfate dangerous to the dog?
No, because you're going to water it in.
Okay. That's good enough to know. I'll start using it then.
Great. Yeah, because, I mean, it's the iron and the sulfur. The sulfur changes the pH, and the iron is, you know, what's up taken to the foliage and keeps it brighter. Now let's go to, stay in St. Louis and go to John's yard. Hi, John.
Hey, John. Thanks for taking my call, Mike. I'll
sure.
make it really quick. We're trying to keep bagworms out of our two large evergreens. What's the best time to treat it? And some people tell me spray directly on the branch. Other ones tell me spray your chemical on the bark. What's the best way to do that? And how soon is it before we can treat that tree, the trees?
As far as, is there existing bagworms on your trees right now?
There were a couple of, you know, during the summer. We started to notice them, and we sprayed stuff, and it actually, they fell off.
Whoa.
The bagworms fell off. I don't know if we use too much ortho or not.
Yeah, I don't. Usually, they don't. The bags don't fall off unless they're not attached yet.
Yeah.
So just watch them and watch for the crawler stages. And at that time, you can use pretty much any insecticide and just spray it right onto the crawler stage, which they'll look like tiny bagworms.
Yeah. Do we spray on the bark or the branch that they're nesting on?
Spray on the actual bugs.
All right.
On the bagworms.
We're trying to save them. Can bagworms actually kill a tree?
Well, slowly but surely, yeah. But it's going to be a long, involved process.
Yeah, we've had a couple of them where we used to live. They died because of bagworms.
Right.
What's the best product to use on that?
If you're just trying to kill them in the crawler stage, any insecticide is effective, as long as you spray it right onto the onto the bagworms.
All righty. Gee, thanks.
Yep. And, but again, I've said this once or twice today, too. If the bags are hanging there, there's no insecticide that will penetrate the bags. And Maria, could you do it kind of quick today?
Yes. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Love your show. Burford Holly, I have a couple that I've had for about 10 years, but one of them looks like it's dying. The leaves are real brown, dead wood.
Right.
And I did notice some webs and some sticky matter on some of the outer leaves and stuff. So I didn't know if it had a disease or if it's just running its course.
Basically, Burford hollies are not the best hollies for here, and their lifespan is somewhat limited. So my guess is probably related to just age factor as much as anything.
Okay. Sounds good. And then I was wondering, could I put strawberries in now?
Sure.
I got mail order. Okay.
Yeah, get them in. As long as the ground is prepared and everything else, you should be fine.
Yes. Okay, sounds wonderful. Thank you so much.
Sure. Thanks to everybody for calling today. So we did get all the callers in. And I guess I'll be back next week unless they say, your show stinks and we're going to get rid of you. But I'll tell you, the weeds are absolutely exploding. If you go out into your yard or you see in a neighbor's yard, or you walk in a park or something, you see stuff on the ground that looks very purplish. That is henbit. That is one of those vicious weeds that germinates last August, grows through all the winter time, does very good. It's colored, it has flowers all over it right now. It's dropping seed. And so that's why I keep harping on putting a pre-emergent down in August, but then you can't put regular grass seed down at that time because of the conflict of interest. But there's weeds all over the place besides the perennial dandelions. Mike Miller, KMWatch Garden Hotline. See you next week.
A proud partner of the 2018 100th PGA Championship at Belle Reve Country Club. KMOX, KMOX HD St. Louis, KZK HD3 St. Louis.